Well, Christmas Eve is upon us. So, Merry Christmas. It's good to be here. It's always good to get prepared for the day in which we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, we're going to touch on all different things as far as the Christmas story is concerned, but in particular, we're going to be talking about peace. And there are several things as I was thinking about what it is that Jesus brought salvation, right? The ability for man to be reconciled with the Father. And in that, we can know, regardless of what we're faced in our lives, whatever trials that we're going through, we can know peace, we can know joy, and we can know hope. We can know those things. It has nothing to do with what we're faced with. It has to do with who we know. And so, let's start out by just reading in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 2. And Luke gives the account, the details of what was going on when Jesus was born and what happened when he was born as the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field, not too far away from where he was born. And, you know, today, like I said, in what we know it to be is it's the eve of the day in which we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know, I understand that Christmas can be experienced and can be approached differently depending on what you're going through in life. It may be just a beautiful time. You're on a mountaintop, right? And so you approach Christmas differently than someone that perhaps has had a rough year. Maybe even just here within the last week or two, it's been especially difficult. You approach it differently, but what you receive is the same thing. And we're celebrating the same one who came to give life and that eternally. Because no matter what, if you were to consider why Jesus was born and the salvation he offers by his shed blood, then it should be a day that brings joy and peace because you've come to know the greatest gift that could ever be offered to mankind, and we can receive freely. Salvation. Salvation and the hope of heaven. Because no matter what, as the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, so it's a win-win situation for the person who has come to know Jesus Christ as their truly, genuinely, personal Lord and Savior. If you trust him, then you will have faith that he will work things out somehow, some way. It may not be the way you had, may not be what you had in mind as far as how he works it out. Nonetheless, he is faithful, though. Our faith doesn't depend on whether things work out the way we had it planned to work out. You know, sometimes we want things, we want it to just go in this, like step one, step two, step three, and there we go, right? But it doesn't always work that way. But his faithfulness doesn't depend on whether he meets our requirements, our standards. We should nonetheless have faith and complete trust in God no matter what happens, believing that he is trustworthy. And if this is the case with you, then Christmas and every day is a day in which we can rest in Christ and know the hope that he gives us in salvation and eternal life. I'm reminded of this little lady that she buried, and I told this story the other day, and it's worth telling again. Because this lady, she was in the hospital, and I don't know if she's with us now, with us, or she's gone home. But her name is Faith, and I remember going and visiting her, and someone from the palliative care team had asked me to go visit with her, and so I did. And as I went, and she barely had enough strength to say anything, and I just shared some scripture with her, and then I asked her if I could pray for her. And she said, "Yeah, absolutely, yeah, pray for me." And so I prayed for her. And after I got done praying, I didn't think that she was going to pray, but she did. And what she prayed blew me away. You see, this little lady was dying. And yet what she prayed was, "Lord, let me be a beacon to my family. Let me be a light to them. Don't allow me to be a stumbling block. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ." That is a person who knew beyond a shadow of doubt. In fact, if she's home, if she's had her home going and she's in heaven, oh, she's celebrating today and tomorrow and the next day, like none of your Christmases combined in all of God's glory for all eternity. It's not just, oh, you know, it's for a time. No, it's beyond our imagination for all eternity. She knew that hope that she had in Jesus Christ. And talk about being unmoved. She was completely unmoved. She was looking forward to God's glory for eternity. She possessed that peace that surpasses all understanding, and you can too. We are celebrating the Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ today, the Prince of Peace. You know, Isaiah prophesied a few years, many years. In fact, I believe it was 700 years before Jesus was born. He said this, Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And this is the peace that we celebrate today, a heavenly peace. I know we're busy. This is a busy season, isn't it? Were you guys rushing up until the point that you came here? Probably many of you were. I know, you know, we had a full day today. But regardless of what happened, what took place during this time, we could be at peace internally. Spiritually, we can be at peace. Because we know the Prince of Peace. So let's pray, and we'll get into Luke chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we are certainly thankful for that peace that you offer, that joy that you offer, that hope that you offer through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came not only to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to perform many miracles, but also to die on a cross. 3 days after being buried, being raised from the grave. And today sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for all of us. Lord, that's who we celebrate, and that's through whom we know hope, joy, and peace. I pray this evening, Lord, that we would consider the one that we celebrate, the one that we put our hope in, that as we gather with family and friends and we enjoy time with family, Lord, that we would most of all consider the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who came to sacrifice himself on the cross on our behalf. May we consider this indescribable gift, Father, that you have given to us. May this truly be a joyous, hope-filled, and peaceful Christmas. Bless our time together, I pray. May you give us understanding, and may you speak to us intimately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Christmas story is what we have. This was a time, a very difficult time, by the way. This was a time when the Roman government had ordered a census of all the people, and so those people that were away from their home, living in different areas, had to return, and that way they could count them, make a count of them accurately. Now, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the distance is about 70 miles, and so it was no short trip. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you know, let's get back to, you know, the other side of town. It was quite a ways. Can you imagine? I mean, riding in on a donkey, right? From L.A. Where'd you come in from? L.A. Wow. How long did it take you? Oh, about a week. She's with child. You know, a long time, right? It wasn't just, well, I was going to say an hour. I don't know the last time it took an hour to get from L.A. here or here to L.A., but that's about the distance, about 70 miles. It's funny, in Southern California, when people ask, well, how far it is, when we answer in time. Oh, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours. In other parts of the country, they actually say miles. You know, it's like 20 miles away. We don't. It all depends on what time of day are you leaving, right? But they didn't have an option, so they traveled. They traveled. And when they arrived, there were so many people. There were so many people, and they had gotten there before them, that there was no room in the hotels. They're all full. No room in the inn. And so they took a stable. And Jesus was born there. Talk about born in humility. He was born to humble parents in a humble barn. And you know that nice little cute kind of crib that we put baby Jesus in when we're doing plays and things like that? That's actually a feeding trough. Did you know that? You know there's hay in there and all of that. That was what the animals would eat out of. That's what it is. But in the midst of all of that difficulty, God was working. prophecies were being fulfilled because of how things took place. It's interesting, you know, sometimes we look at all our difficulties and we think, ah, God, how are you working? Oh, when I get through this, right? It's like, no, God is working in the midst of that, of that humility, that lowliness, that brokenness. God is working if you just pay attention. God was working in all of these. In fact, it's beautiful how many prophecies were fulfilled actually in this time, in everything that took place. Isaiah 7:14, I had referred to Isaiah 9:6 just earlier, but Isaiah 7:14 says that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Check. Right? Is that not a miracle in and of itself? Absolutely, right? Isaiah 7:14 also, Jesus was referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. That is exactly what they referred to him as. And he is God with us. Micah 5:2, Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Genesis 49:10, Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. As we read here, from the line of David. Right? Jeremiah 23:5, Messiah would be the descendant of King David. As I just said. And so even in the midst of difficult times, God is doing a work in our lives as well. That's why even in the middle of just, oh, it's so difficult. Slow down, take a deep breath. Sometimes we get so worked up about everything that's happening that we don't pay attention to who is with us. We don't have that peace which surpasses all understanding because we're not putting our trust in Him. We don't realize he's faithful. He's with us. He'll see us through. He's our strength. In fact, my wife and I, we were talking earlier about knowing times of want. You know, some people have never experienced that. You know, and it's foreign. It's like, I don't know. I can't relate because I haven't been there. I do remember those times as a child of not having much at all. And I've told you, the church itself, that I remember that there was a time when my mom, my brother, and my sister, we had nothing in the house. We simply had a mattress in one of the rooms. And I think we had clothes, like, we didn't have anything. But as we recall those times, let me tell you that we were so grateful for everything that came to us. I did not realize that there were certain people that were just blessing us. Like me, we came from out of town. We had left for a while and we came back. And I remember arriving and I always played baseball, going to the baseball field. And apparently my mom was in contact with a coach and they had it all set up. And when we pulled up, the game was going on and I'm like, oh, mom, you know, so we're going to watch the game. She goes, yeah, I think you're going to do a little bit more than that. And as I came out, the coach came, oh, we've been waiting for you. I'm like, you've been waiting for me? You know, I just got back in town, right? And said, we've been waiting for you. We have a uniform for you. You know, you ready to play? And I'm like, I don't even have a glove right now, right? They had paid for that season. They bought one of the, you know, those old windbreakers and things like that. They did things like that. People. And I remember just being so grateful, just spending time with the family. Humility is good. Humility is good. And our Lord was born in humility. And even in the midst of difficult times, God is doing a work in your life. It may not be apparent or seem as if He is, but He is. Even in the midst of difficult times, God desires that we possess a peace that surpasses all understanding as we trust Him with our lives. Jesus was born to a humble couple in a humble place at a humble time. At a troubled time. I mean, the world at that point was not like, eh, you know, it's all good. Everyone loves each other. Everyone's getting along. No. The people were under Roman oppression. It's like we think, you know, if we only lived in Jesus' time. Really? I don't know if you could handle that. I don't know. It'd be hard. But then again, Jesus came to settle troubled hearts. Hearts that did not know true peace. But an angel was sent by the Lord to tell us who had been sent. Again, let's look at chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They're just tending to everyday, you know, what they would do. Their work, they're just doing that. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Who wouldn't be filled with great fear, right? Angel of the Lord appeared, and then the glory of the Lord shone around. Of course great fear would fall upon us, right? We would be fearful, right? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then he goes on to say, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Shepherds out in the field are approached by an angel of the Lord in this manner. The city was busting at the seams with people. That was busy. That was where the Lord was. The shepherds were out in the field, but heaven was speaking. Heaven was saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, that is proclaimed from heaven. Words. You can't find greater love in any words than that right there. Listen closely. I know the situation and everything is intense. And better than any other news you've ever heard and will ever hear. Because this is good news for all people. What's the good news? Well, it's the news of great joy, great hope, great peace. Because for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Think of it as a statement that is told to you personally and individually. Because that's what it is. I know we read it, we're here all together. But it's a statement that is made to each and every one of us personally. For unto you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Will you receive him? Because the point of him being Christ the Lord, well, that just remains. It is. But is he yours? Because he doesn't impose himself on you. He doesn't force himself on you. He offers himself to you. That's why you can deny him. You can reject him. You can turn your back on him. You can even bring sorrow to the heart of God. Why? Because you do those things. We can. We have the power to choose. But for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel told the shepherds how they would find the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, to give them further evidence that what he was saying was true. Hey, listen, you know, heaven will speak, prophesy. Prophecies as in Isaiah that I just read a few. It's like, check them out. In a few hundred years, they're going to come to fruition. They came about just as the Lord said through the prophet. They were true. Well, the angel of the Lord spoke, and so go find the baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And so they did go, and they did find, just as they were told. And then this whole scene just kind of just busted wide open, right? When heaven opened up and the shepherds saw a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Can you imagine just getting a glimpse of heaven? It just opens up a bit. And you hear this? Oh, I gotta go see this. The Messiah has been born. He is in Bethlehem, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. We will find him there. We have to go see this. The birth of Jesus is a joy to those with whom he is pleased, and on earth there is peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's not the Christmas season that brings joy, although it's fun. It's busy, but it's fun. It can be fun. Not the cool, crisp weather, which we don't enjoy here, but maybe in some parts of the country. Not the snow for skiing or snowboarding, not the food and the gatherings, not even the music that we hear starting in August in some homes. But rather it comes down to one thing, Jesus and our belief in him. That Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died for our sins, resurrected from the grave on the third day, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. We believe that Jesus is who he said he was and is, the Son of God. And therefore, there can be peace and joy on earth among those people that believe in Jesus Christ. God is pleased with his Son. After Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him and came to rest upon him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." You see there the Trinity, by the way. You hear the voice of the Father, the Holy Spirit, come and rest upon Jesus, the Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we believe that in Christ we are forgiven, saved, and sealed for heaven, we are indeed in Christ. And therefore, when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in whom he is well pleased. It's not that he's pleased in us, but he's pleased in whom we are covered by. We are resting in Christ. We find peace in Christ. We find joy in Christ. We find our hope in Christ. And when the Father sees us, it's amazing. We are regarded as righteous, and our faith has made us righteous in Christ, our faith in Christ. We have been imputed to us righteousness. Amazing. It's beyond what we can ever imagine, but it is true. That's grace. And because we've been reconciled to God through the forgiveness of our sins, we can truly know a peace that surpasses all understanding, and rejoice in the hope of heaven in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about the fulfillment of that title, Prince of Peace, that we read in Isaiah 9:6, because that is one of the titles of Jesus. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." So we were still enemies of him. As he did the work of reconciliation. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are still yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. We were at enmity with God prior to. That's why when we come to Christ, it's not that life is going to be perfect, because I don't know whose life is perfect. It's like, oh, the Christian that I know down the street, man, their life is not perfect. They have all kinds of things going on. Yeah, but you're getting it all wrong. It has nothing to do with whether the plumbing broke and, you know, and there's stuff going on in their family and the dog died and, you know, it has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with this reconciliation and this knowledge, understanding, and reception of peace that is internal, it's spiritual, it's eternal. That's why for the Christian, it really doesn't matter what happens in your life. Right? You can know a peace that surpasses comprehension. Have you guys ever experienced that? You know, I've experienced it over and over again. It's like in the middle of difficulty. I don't know why I just feel a peace. Why? Because God is with me. The Lord is with me. I am His and He is mine. It's really, in the end, that's all that matters. I can lose it all. But if I have Him, I have everything. Is that how you see life? Do you know that kind of life? This deep, abiding peace with God cannot be taken away. And we cannot be removed from it. This time is truly festive. It is. I hope you guys go home, you guys gather together and celebrate. It's truly a festive time. Enjoy that time with family and friends. This time can truly be joyful in Christ. Filled with joy. I hope that if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know this hope, joy, and peace that I'm speaking of, that I think I have brought you through, if you don't know it, this is how you can know it. I remember I did not come to Christ because I was shamed into it. I was guilted into salvation. It was none of that stuff. In fact, you could say my life, I was just kind of doing whatever I wanted to do. It was just coming to that understanding of I'm separated from the Father. I don't know eternal life. Because the Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. And for me, I was thinking there are some who are better than me, a lot of people that are better than me. And what the Lord is saying, yeah, but before me, you're all sinners. Why? Because you've all fallen short of the perfect standard of God. That was good news to me. I was like, oh, cool. So you're just as bad as me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I remember hearing for the first time, the way to know salvation for sure is to truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And just ask Him for forgiveness. Allow Him to forgive you of your sins, past, present, and future. Because in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And I remember asking my friend, you know, so that's it? Yeah, but yes and no. Yes and no. It's not like this, like just go through the words and you will be saved kind of a thing. It's not like that. It's more of when you truly believe that you are confessing your sins to Him, asking Him for forgiveness, and asking Him to be Lord and Savior, then you will be saved. And how you will know is you will have new desires. Like the old stuff that you used to do, the old person, oh, it's been buried with Christ. It's dead. You are a new creature in Christ. You have new desires. You will actually desire to open up the Bible and read it. Why? Because I want to know who God is. I want to get closer to Him. And I remember, like, just thinking about this for a while. And then coming to the understanding, I want that. And the moment I gave my life to Christ, like I said, I wasn't shamed, I wasn't guilted, it wasn't anything like that. It was just a point to where I realized that I, in my sin, am condemned already. And if I don't ask for forgiveness, then I'm going to hell for all eternity. It's not if, it's I'm already on my way. So for the person not in Christ, this is your best life now. Right? But I wanted to be assured of more than that. I wanted heaven. And I remember when the preacher said, "Hey, if anyone wants to receive Christ," I remember him asking us to stand to our feet, and he gave the invitation, and I don't remember. I just know I just felt like a big, huge load had been taken off of my life. I had been forgiven of everything. It's like, talk about a comfort, talk about a joy, a hope, a peace. I remember coming forward and just, wow, just the weight of the world being taken off of me. I haven't been the same ever since. I may have been a knucklehead. May have rebelled against God at a time, remember that. But He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. I know I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope that that's the hope, the joy, and the peace that you come to know and come to celebrate in Jesus Christ. Not only is the Son of God that you know of, not only is Lord that you know of, but that you know personally. Because God did not promise an easy life, but He did say that He'd provide peace when we are in need of it. According to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." All you have to do is call out to Him and ask Him for that, and He will give it to you. Just trust in Him. Today, God is still reaching out to those who are in the fields of life, you could say, tending to their daily needs and bringing good news of great joy and peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Christmas is a day in which hope of being reconciled to God came to this earth. Emmanuel, God with us, and God offered salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Heavenly peace has been offered to all through Christ our Lord. Merry Christmas. I want to, as the worship team comes up, you're going to close with a song? Yeah? Okay. I just want to say, listen, I cannot have you walk away without actually offering you what I was offered a few years ago. And that is salvation. If you're here and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope that this evening would be the day. This would be the moment. The day of salvation has come upon you. The offer is before you. It's free, although it costs God everything. And all you have to do is ask God for forgiveness and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Do it genuinely, understanding what you're doing, and you will know a new life in Jesus Christ. And at that point, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You know, the old man has died. You will experience and you will know a new life in Christ like you've never known before. And I pray that would be you. That would be an awesome Christmas. So let's pray. Maybe at that time you can do that very thing. So let's pray. And Father, we are truly thankful for the gift that you have offered to all mankind in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that through him we can know salvation, reconciliation unto you, the Father. Simply by faith, by having faith, by believing in the Son, that he is who he claimed to be. And he did what we know he did for us. And I do pray for anyone who is here who does not know salvation in Christ, that today be the day of salvation, that they would be reconciled unto you through faith in Jesus Christ, Father. May this be a joyful, hope-filled, and peaceful Christmas, knowing that all has been forgiven and the hope of heaven is certain. And so, Lord, we commit the rest of this evening, tomorrow, into your hands, Lord. May it just be a wonderful time with family and friends. But may you be in the center of it all. May you be the one that we truly celebrate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.